Alex, once again, for the last time, I know it's here, I'm sad too. This is the final part of the EOT News Flash's Ixalan Limited Set Review, Part 3, Gold, Green, Artifact, Land Cards, it's all here. This is going to be a long one, so buckle up and get ready to rock and roll. As always, we do this on a 4-point scale, ones being the cards you should never ever play. They're utter crap. Twos are the fillers. You're generic, you know, what your decks and limited are going to be mostly comprised of. Three or more premium creatures and removal, and fours are the absolute bombs that will pull you into a color when you open your pack or you open your draft, whatever it's going to be, and you just go, wow, that thing's insane. That is Carnage Tyrant. Play green instead. All right, so we also have two other additional categories. We have B for build arounds, which are cards that require them to be put in a specific deck. Typically, these play best in drafts. Maybe you can pull them off in sealed, depends on how your pool actually looks. And S is for sideboard. Those are the cards that you should always leave in your sideboard until your opponent proves that they need to be brought in, whether it's going to be like a legendary land that needs to be blown up by an enchantment first, or it's going to have removal or anything like that that you just typically can't play main deck. So, with that out of the way, let's get this started. If you haven't already, of course, go and check out the white, the blue, the black, and the red cards. Those have been already uploaded to YouTube, and you also find the links to those, the audio versions only, over on the MTG Casts. Now, without further ado, Ancient Brontodon is our first green card, and man, this guy's big. Six green for a dinosaur at common. It's a 9/9 and has literally no other text other than the labor text. It's taller than the trees and older than all of the oldest. This thing is absurdly huge. I mean, at common, no less. Problem being, 8 mana is a lot. I don't know how easy it is to get to 8 mana in this format. It might be slow, and I'm going to find out this weekend at the pre-release. And that's kind of the problem with it. He costs too much, and he's just... it's too easily chump blocked. With Trample, this thing becomes insane, but without an evasion ability on it, it's literally just throw this 1-1 in front of it. I mean, eventually they'll run out and you can just mug your opponents over, but they probably will find a way to take care of this in the meantime, be it bouncing or straight up killing it or tapping it down or anything like that. So I'm not impressed with this guy, but if you do need a massive top-end guy, this is the biggest one you can get. So that's something for it. Next up, we have Zokan? Archer. This is a 2 and a green human archer at uncommon, 1/4 with reach, and when it enters the battlefield, you may have it fight another target creature. Now, a one power guy fighting isn't really riding home for much, but you can be tricky with this. Have it survive the fight, and then kill it with another removal spell. Or, you know, there's many, many ways to take advantage of this card here, but it is just kind of tricky. Now, that being said, 4 is the magic number in this set in terms of power and toughness. And why can't I get the names of the cards to come back here? No, we'll just refresh that. It's the magic number, essentially, where a lot of removal spells will kill something with 3 toughness, but not this. There's only one red burn spell that actually kills a 4 toughness creature. You need black removal to get rid of this guy. So at 3 mana, he's a great wall, especially with reach. This thing will hold the fort down. It might be better than the 2.25 I gave it, but as it stands, having it fight, I'm just not quite sure what the point of having to do that is, but hey, it's all right. Next up, we have Blinding Fog. 2 and a green gets you an instant at common, prevents all damage dealt to creatures this turn, and creatures you control gain hexproof until the end of turn. For reasons, I guess. It's not even like a turbo fog. It doesn't prevent damage to you, it prevents damage to your creature, so I gave this a 2. I'm sure there's some instances where, you know, if your opponent's going to fire off, like, Star of Extinction or something like that, then you might have an excuse for boarding this in, but I'm going to leave this in the side for the most part, and I'm probably not going to be happy about playing a main board either. I gave it a 2, and it's not very good, I don't think. Moving right along, we've got Blossom Dryad. 2 and a green for a Dryad at common, 2/2, untap target land. This is a decent ramp, and it also, you know, beats down pretty decently as well. 3-mana 2/2s are nothing to write home about, but this getting you ahead on the curve, especially in green, where we do have things like Brontodon at 8 mana. You're going to need creatures that can get you over those mana, you know, just the normal mana curve, because also, there's not a lot of mana acceleration in this set. There are only, I think, four or five cards that actually say, you know, something along the lines of untap this mana or add extra mana. So you need to take these at a premium if you are playing cards like Brontodon or our next offender as the most egregious card ever designed, Carnage Tyrant. Four green into a dinosaur at mythic, 7/6, can't be countered, trample, and hexproof. So I have a theory about how this card came to be. R&D sitting in their room one day, and they're all feeling pretty good. They're just finishing out the set. And they're like, oh man, we've got the last green mythic. What should we make it? And somebody goes, y'all remember Thragtusk and how annoying that card was? They're like, yeah, yeah. Or Primeval Titan, like, yeah, yeah. And how those cards would completely destroy the fact that we had Mana Leak in the format, but then they printed Cavern of Souls, and everyone's like, yeah, yeah, I remember that. And they're like, check this out, guys. What if we make it uncounterable? They're like, oh, that's good, that's good. And then what if we give it Hexproof? They're like, oh, that's a great idea, totally great idea, because that's what Primeval Titan and Thragtusk needed. Oh my god, this card is so stupid. I hope you have a way of blocking this thing, because that's the only way you're killing it. Screw this card. It's a 4. Yes, it's powerful, but my god, somebody really messed up in R&D when they designed this card. Anyway, moving on. We have Colossal Dreadmaw. 4 green. It's a dinosaur at common. It's a 6/6 with trample. That's completely reasonable. at least you can target this thing. Yeah, there are a lot of common dinosaurs with big, big casting costs and big, big power and toughness ratios. And this was probably one of the better ones because trample is a totally real thing. Unlike Ancient Brontodon, which cannot finish games by itself with creatures in the way, this guy can. I like this Dreadmaw a lot. 2.5 for me. Great, powerful common card, I think. Next up, we've got Dinosaur Stirrings. I mean, Commune Dinosaurs. A single green mana gets you a sorcery at common. It lets you look at the top 5 cards in your library, reveal a dinosaur or land card from among them, and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. Now, this card's actually really powerful. This will always hit a land, most likely in Limited. And having a high density of dinosaurs in your deck would also make this thing a lot better. And just be able to dig through your deck and just filter things out of the way. Excellent. You know, not a great playable, but I wouldn't be embarrassed to play this in a deck that at least has, you know, 6, 7, you know, as many dinosaurs as possible, but I would say that 6 is the low end of what you'd actually want to be, you know, accessible with it. Preferably a big giant one like Brontodon or Dreadmaw. Next up, we've got Crash the Ramparts. 2 and a green gets you an instant at common. Target creature gets +3/+3 and trample till the end of turn. You know, for a single green mana, we used to get the +3/+3. But trample's a little bit much, I have to admit. But my god, pump spells have gotten so bad since Giant's Growth left the format. trample gives this play. That's what makes this good. This is what you're going to use to get Ancient Brontodon through, or any of these other giant dinosaurs who don't naturally have trample. And that's pretty good as far as the utility of this, but at 3 mana, it's pretty iffy. There's a lot of removal that can just, you know, bounce or remove the creature altogether. So be careful about using this. You know, don't walk into the trap of just thinking you can just plow right through. Be careful with this one. 2.25 for me. Next up, we've got Crushing Canopy. 2 and a green and instant common. Choose one, destroy target creature with flying or destroy target enchantment. This is, of course, a sideboard card unless you're drafting or if, you know, you think that you're just going to see a lot of flyers in your pre-release perhaps. But typically this is going to stay in the sideboard and bring this in when you need to destroy something, you know, relevant. There's a lot of green creatures that actually have reach, and there aren't a ton of overpowered flyers that you probably couldn't handle, especially if you're in green and doing what green does, which is usually ramping out big fatties and smashing down. The flyers aren't going to matter all that much, but there you go. Moving right along, we're going to jump into Death Gorge Scavenger. 2 and a green gets you a dinosaur at rare. It's a 3/2. When it enters the battlefield or attacks, you may exile target card from a graveyard, not opponents or your graveyard only. If a creature card is exiled this way, you gain 2 life. If a non-creature card is exiled this way, it gets +1/+1 till the end of turn. So this immediately impacts the board as soon as it comes down. Eat a creature out of the graveyard, gain some life, and then immediately starts bashing in as a 4/3 on the next turn. Like, this thing's insane. super standard potential here. The only problem is that there isn't any, you know, fodder for it in the graveyards. It's just a 3-mana 3/2. So it is going to be chump blocked a lot of time or just flat out just blocked and killed. So make sure you're using it to its full potential and making sure you're actually getting the value out of it when it attacks Orange Battlefield. But 2.5 for me, this is going to see some standard play, and it's pretty solid and limited as well. Next up, we have the Deep Root Champion. A single one in a green gets you a 1/1 Merfolk Shaman at rare. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put a +1/+1 counter on Deep Root Champion. So this is... I forget the name of the dryad that used to do the same trick, but it counted for, you know, any colored spell. But yeah, it did the exact same thing. Anyway, this isn't terrible. In sealed, it's pretty weak just because you need a surplus of non-creature spells to make this thing worth it. Now, that being said, in draft, it gets a little bit better because you can actually draft around this. Some sort of like blue-green tempo deck, perhaps, is where this one is going to be most at home. Standard potential and some sort of group and sort of, you know, maybe like a teamer spells deck, some kind of energy variant. But if, as far as sealed go, it's just a really weak two. Typically gonna have a couple spells in your deck to go with along with this. So at best you're gonna get to like maybe like a 3/3. But if you can get it over the hump, by all means play it, but just be careful with this one. Next up, we have Deep Root Warrior, a 1 in a green Merfolk Warrior at common, 2/2. When it becomes blocked, it gets +1/+1 till the end of turn. So that's pretty good. It's going to be difficult for your opponents to block this. They're not going to throw anything in front of it because it will just naturally grow. But this is a great beater for limited. It's a 2.25 for me. Not embarrassing at all. Next up, we've got Drover of the Mighty. A 1 in a green gets you a human druid at uncommon. It's a 1/1 and it gets +2/+2 as long as you control a dinosaur. You can also tap it to add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. This is really good. This is ramping into the dinosaurs that you need it to make bigger. It's a combo. You see how this works, guys. You play the dinosaurs that go with this, it gets bigger, obviously. This is completely reasonable for a limited deck as far as ramp goes, even if you don't have a lot of dinosaurs. Just the top end is good for it. So 2.5 for me, this is one of the few colored ramp spells, as meaning that it produces colored mana, not just untaps a land or, you know, something like that effect. This is really good, I think, and that it's not having like a restriction of only cast creature spells. So I like this Drover guy here a lot. 2.5 for me. Next up, we have Emergent Growth. 3 to green sorcery at uncommon. Target creature gets +5/+5 until the end of turn, and it must be blocked if possible. Obviously, put this thing on like a trample and just turn sideways and, you know, crash in. It's pretty simple, pretty academic. This is a 2 for me, unless the creature you have has trample, you know, something like Colossal Dreadmaw, obviously a better target for it. But in some cases, your opponent's just going to put, you know, a chump blocker in the way, and this isn't going to do a whole lot. Put it on trample, like I said. Otherwise, it's just a 2 for me. Not great, not all exciting. Emperor's Vanguard is next. 3 in a green gets a human scout at rare. It's a 4/3. When it deals combat damage to a player, it explores. So the potential of this guy to go super big is quite high, actually. it'd be better if it had evasion, obviously. But just being an on-curve 4 mana 4/3 is going to give it some play. And if you can get through it once, your value is already there. You've either drawn a card or now it's a 5/4 another time, and it just gets absurd. This is probably a 2.5 for me, 2.5. Possibly better than that. I would not be embarrassed to play this. This is a really powerful card that, if unchecked, will end games quickly just from the raw card advantage and getting so big that it just can't be dealt with anymore. Really solid card here. Next up, we've got the Grazing Whiptail. 2 green gets you a common dinosaur, 3/4 with reach. Again, here we have those cards where we don't need things like Crushing Canopy to be played because these dinosaurs naturally can snatch down flyers out of the air. I'm actually pretty happy with this thing. This is a 2.5 for me. Having the fourth power of toughness means it's going to survive a lot of burn spells, which is always great. And it's just going to eat a lot of cheap flyers or make them just not attack with them at all. Super good playable, if you ask me. 2.5 for me. Next up, we've got... Oh, yeah. We need to go to the flip cards now. Wizards, why can't you put them on the same page? Gosh. We have the Growing Rites of It's Lamok. Tuna green, legendary enchantment at rare. When it enters battlefield, look at the top four cards of your library. You may reveal a creature from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. At the beginning of your end step, if you control four more creatures, sacrifice Growing Rites of It's Lamok. And then... It Lamok, Cradle of the Sun. It taps for a green. It's legendary land. It can also tap for a green for each creature you control. Now, this is not Gaia's Cradle, people. Believe me. Obviously, yes, it does go and get its own fuel to flip itself over, but it's going to be difficult to put four creatures on the battlefield. But yes, games will get clogged up. This will most likely transform. This is a massive mana generator. As soon as it flips, you're already generating four, five mana in some cases. I mean, this is an insane card for limited. This is a three. Like, if you can destroy this before it flips, do it, because otherwise your opponent will just bury you with all the mana they're generating. And this is a scary card in limited. Really, really powerful. And let's go right on down. There we go. We are on to Ixalis Diviner. One in a green to a human dryad at common 0/3. Enters the battlefield. It explores. I'm not super excited about this. I don't know if Explore is going to be good. You know, there's been a lot of talk online that I've read on things like Reddit and other Facebook groups that I'm a part of, and no one can really make heads or tails of Explore right now without playing with it. At best, this is a 2-mana 1/4 that's going to block. I'm not impressed with this. It doesn't have a relevant creature type either, neither Merfolk or Dinosaur. This thing's just kind of underwhelming. I'm going to pass on this. Now, I'm going to retract something I said yesterday about the 2-mana black card that's a 1/2 that explores when it comes in the battlefield. That thing's actually insane. That's really, really good. Moving right along. Ixalis Keeper is next. One in a green, it gets a human shaman at common 2/2. You may pay 7 and a color, 7 and a green, tap it and sacrifice it. And target creature gets +5/+5 and trample. There's that magic word, trample, until the end of turn. This is a solid 2 for me. If it was a cheaper activated mana cost, I would have ranked it higher. But as it is, it is a perfectly fine bear, and a late game hit like this might just end the game for you. So I'll play this guy. Not terrible. Moving right along, we've got Jade Guardian. 3 and a green gets you a Merfolk Shaman at common. It's a 2/2. Has hexproof. Already good in my book. When Jade Guardian enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on target Merfolk you control. So this is automatically by itself a 4-mana 3/3 with hexproof. That's already great stats right there. But this is putting counters on other creatures you control. And if you have the blue merfolk that gives unblockability to all creatures with +1/+1 counters on them, this thing gets real crazy. If you can bounce this thing somehow or blink it, wow, this thing gets out of control really fast. 2.25 for me. You know, like I said, bare minimum to 3/3 for 4. That's already fantastic. So I like this guy quite a bit, or this gal. Merfolk. Next up, we have Jungle Delver, and believe me, I made the joke when I saw this thing too. It's not Delver of Secrets. It's a single green Merfolk Warrior at common. It's a 1/1, and you can pay 3 and a green to put a 1/1 counter on Jungle Delver. It's almost Delver. It doesn't fly though. It's a decent late game mana sink. 2.25 for me. I wouldn't be embarrassed to play this as long as I've got mana to burn, you know, late into the game, possibly off of Growing Rites of Ilamok. Just saying. Combo right there, people. Next up, Kumina. There we go. Kumina Speaker. Every set, there's another word that I just look at and go, my mouth can't pronounce this sound. Maybe it's my southern raising that just makes me not unable to say certain phonetic sounds. I don't know, but my gosh, Wizards, y'all killing me here. A single green mana gets you a Merfolk Shaman at uncommon. It's a 1/1, and it gets +1/+1 as long as you control another Merfolk or an island. I guarantee you this will be a 2/2 when you play it. 2.5 for me. If it's in the right deck, obviously, it's good. It's just good. 1-mana 2/2s are just good, efficient beaters. It's not a counter, but it's still pretty good. Moving right along, we have a Merfolk Branch Walker. 1 in a green gets you a 2/1 Merfolk Scout at uncommon. Enters battlefield, it explores. two mana 3/2s. Upside here, people. The only problem is that it will get chump blocked quite easily, but it's going to draw you a card. It's going to get a little bit bigger. The more and more I read the Explore mechanic, the more and more I realize that it is a little bit better than I give it credit for. And on these creatures that actually have a decent power to toughness ratio or are decently casted or, you know, decently costed, I'm coming around to it. So this one gets a 2.5 for me. This is just a barrel with upside, and it's always good. Moving right along, we've got New Horizons. 2 and a green gets you an aura enchantment at common, enchants the land, and when it enters the battlefield, it puts a +1/+1 counter on a creature you control. That's already great. And the enchanted land has tap to add 2 mana of any color to your mana pool. Can be used to cast anything. This card's insane. Your dorks get bigger, and like your other mana dorks, or just other creatures you have in play, and Rams and the Dinosaurs. This is a 2.5 for me. You know, having this much flexibility in a card like this, we've seen things like Weirding Wood, Gift of Paradise, those are the two for most recent ones being played in the ramp decks from once before rotation hits that actually had some upside to them. And this one just continues that tradition. This card is really, really cool. This is a 2.5 for me because getting to those higher curve on your mana is really important, and being a common makes this thing even better. Next up, we have the Old Growth Dryad. It's a single green mana, gets you a rare dryad, 3/3. What? Single green, one mana, 3/3? What is this, Delver of Secrets? When it enters the battlefield, though, each opponent may search his or her library for a basic land card, put it on the battlefield tapped, then shuffle his or her library. Remember that stuff from yesterday with the red cards about doubling up on two-headed giant? Yeah, this does that too. This is a giant trap. Do not play this card. This will be probably good in standard, perhaps, or somewhere else. I don't know. Don't play this in limited. It's a mistake. Ramping your opponents is never a good idea. Moving right along to Pounce. 1 and a green instant. Common, target creature you control fights, target creature you don't control. 2.5. This is an instant speed green fight effect. This is awesome. Most of the green creatures that you want to be pouncing with anyway are much bigger than anything will be able to survive. Big old dinos especially. Eat something real fast. 2.5 for me. Next up, we have Ranging Raptors. Wow. Not raging, not raining. Ranging Raptors. 2 and a green dinosaur at uncommon. Has a 2/3 and it has enrage. Whenever it's dealt damage, you may search your library for a basic land card, put it on the battlefield, then shuffle your library. So it's Rampant Growth Dinosaur. That's cool. This thing is insane. They are going to be hard-pressed to block this in the early turns, so it's probably good for 4 to 6 points of damage until they have a creature big enough to actually block it, and at that point, you will get that ramp trigger. Are they going to have to burn this thing out or kill it with a removal spell, which I don't know if they're going to be all that happy about doing, so I like this guy a lot. This is a 2.5 for me. Force your opponent to make a decision. Either block it and ramp me, or just take the damage. Both good both ways. Next up, we've got Ravenous Daggertooth. 2 and a green, 3/2, common dinosaur. When it enrages, you gain 2 life. You'll probably only gain 2 life off of this thing before it dies because it is so weak on the toughness side of things. It is going to trade down, unfortunately. So this isn't the best dinosaur, but it's not terrible either. If you can make it bigger with a pump bill or some +1/+1 counters, yeah, go for it. But I'm not going to waste my time with this guy. It's just a 2.25 for me, though. Moving right along, we've got Ripjaw Raptor. 2 green, 3 dinosaur at rare, 4/5, enrage, draw a card! Yeah, this thing's insane! This is a 3.5 for me. It's going to survive a lot of combat. The 5th point of toughness puts it out of range of every single red burn spell in the format. You have to use black removal on this thing to kill it, or a fight mechanic, of course, would do it as well. This thing is absurdly powerful. And if you can start fighting with it and using the enrage trigger off of that, you're going to draw a ton of cards from this guy. Holy cow, Raging Ripjaw Raptor is insanely powerful. Moving on. River Herald's Boon. 1 and a green instant at common, but a +1/+1 counter on target creature and a +1/+1 counter on up to 1 target merfolk. All right. If you do not have a merfolk in play, do not cast this. If you do not have merfolk in your deck, do not play this. It's that simple. If you can fulfill both of those conditions, it's not terrible. 2+1/+1 counter for 2 mana. I've seen worse. It's a 2 for me, though. Not impressed. Next up, Savage Stomp. And how savage is that art? Oomph. 2 and a green into a sorcery at uncommon. It costs 2 less to cast if you control a dinosaur. Puts a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. That creature fights a creature that you don't. Hello, Ripjaw Raptor. That's what I'm talking about here, people. This card is insane. The fact that it's sorcery knocks it just a little bit, but this is about as close to unconditional green removal as you can possibly get. This is a 2.75 for me. Almost a 3. If only it was instant speed. Oh well. Moving right along, we have Shaper's Sanctuary. This is a single green enchantment at rare. Whenever a creature you control becomes a target of a spell or ability an opponent controls, you may draw a card. Now, that's not terrible. It's not exciting, really, either. Most limited decks, especially in sealed, will lack the removal to actually make this happen. Abilities triggering this make this a little bit better, but I think I want to sideboard this. I don't know if this is worth playing the main board. Like I said, there's not enough creatures that actually have enough activated abilities that would target something, and the removal, you know, you can't always guarantee this, unfortunately. So this is a sideboard card for me. But by all means, if your opponent has a ton of removal, bring it in and reap the benefits from it. Really powerful if it goes off. Next up, we have a cool reprint all the way back from Scars of Mirrodin block. Slice and Twain is a 2-mana or 2 green-green instant uncommon that destroys a target artifact or enchantment and draws a card. This is a sideboard card, obviously. Obviously, we do have things like Legendary Enchantments, Shaper Sanctuary. There's a handful of vehicles in this set that is relevant against. So I can see main decking this in some cases, especially if you saw a lot of those things in draft. To hit a giant, absolutely main deck. You know, it's better to have this and not need it than need it, not have it. You know what I'm saying? So very, very situational, can be main decked, but for the most part, this is a sideboard card for me. Next up, we've got Snappin' Sail Back. That should be more of that. 4 and a green dinosaur at uncommon, 4/4 flash. Wow. Enrages, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. This thing gets out of control super fast. Especially if they don't have anything to back up their creatures that's attacking into it. If it were 4 mana, it'd be absolutely absurd. But as at 5 mana, it's still really good. This is a 2.75 for me. It's a touch high on the curve, but this is a great surprise blocker for limited games. Super powerful card. I love it. Next up, we've got Spike Tail Ceratops. 4 and a green dinosaur at common to 4/4, and it can block an additional creature each combat. This is a 2.25 for me. Again, it's a little bit too high on the curve for the additional block to really matter. But if you are able to get ahead of your opponent, whether ramping or if they stumble on mana, this can actually just take over games because all the things that they're attacking with probably can't beat through 4 points of toughness. Just saying. 2.25 for me. A little high on the curve, like I said, but still a pretty powerful card. Next up, we have Thundering Spineback. 5 green-green dinosaur at uncommon. It's a 5/5, giving other dinosaurs you control +1/+1. Pay 5 and a green and create a 3/3 green dinosaur creature token with trample. So you're effectively paying 5 or 6 mana to get a 4/4. This thing's nuts. It's too high on the curve, unfortunately. But if this does resolve, because of course games of limited do get grindy, resolve this bad boy, sink the mana you got into it every single turn, and eventually just alpha strike your opponent, this will end games for sure. 2.5 for me. If anything, it's just a little bit too high on the curve, but you can ramp pretty easily into this bad boy right here. Really powerful card. Next up, we have Tishana's Wayfinder. 2 and a green is a 2/2 merfolk scout at common, enters battlefield, and explores. Again, I'm not quite sure how to evaluate the explore mechanic here. I gave this a 2 originally, but of course, now that I've thought more on the mechanic itself, it might be more powerful than I'm giving it credit for. This is probably closer to a 2.25 for me. In a merfolk deck, I can see it being a lot more of a higher pick, a higher priority card to play in your sealed deck. So evaluate it when you're playing it and go from there. But 2.25 for me for the time being. Next up, we've got Verdant Rebirth. One and a green gets you an instant at uncommon until the end of turn. Target creature gains whenever this creature dies, return it to its owner's hand and draw a card. That's pretty insane. This card is just straight value. It's a fun little combat trick. So if your creature is going to die, whether it's to a removal spell or anything like this, and you're holding this up, you are going to blow your opponent out. It's effectively a 1, 2, 3 for 1. They kill your creature. That's one. You get it back. You basically blank the removal spell, and you draw a card. 3 for 1. This is insane. It might not be as good as I'm actually giving it credit for, but I'm inclined to think this is pretty darn powerful. 2.5 for me. Next up, we've got Verdant Sun's Avatar. 5 green gets a dinosaur avatar at rare. 5/5 whenever it enters the battlefield or another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you gain life equal to that creature's toughness. This thing is crazy powerful here. 2.5 for me. It's a little too high on the curve. I don't know how many creatures you'll be able to cast past this point in your games of limited, but if you do, you're getting a ton of life. And again, if you can gain enough life, there are some situations where your opponent simply can no longer kill you. That's just the way I've really thought about building my limited decks. I've got friends who believe it. I have friends who don't believe that. But it's definitely a possible thing where your opponent's deck can only deal 20, 21 points of damage. Beyond, if you're basically cranking your life total up to 25, 30 in some cases, I don't know. Maybe there is a line that you can cross where if you have them enough life, you no longer can lose. So take that with a grain of salt and play this card. It's pretty powerful if you ask me. Next up, we have Vine Shaper Mystic. 2 and a green, Merfolk Shaman, add uncommon, 1/3, enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 Merfolk you control. This card is pretty absurd. At bare minimum, this is a 3-mana 3/5. You can put both counters on it. Doesn't have to be different ones. Doesn't say. This card's absurd. And of course, putting these counters on other Merfolk you control just makes it that much better. Of course, I'm going to reference the blue one again. It gives creatures that you control +1/+1 counters unblockable. Really, really powerful. In draft, this thing gets even more absurd if you can build the Merfolk deck. I like this card a lot. 2.75 for me. Really insane, powerful card. Next up, we have Waker of the Wilds. 2 green gets you a Merfolk Shaman at rare. It's a 3/3. And you may pay X green and put a +1/+1 counter, or X +1/+1 counters. On target land you control, that land becomes a 0/0 elemental creature of haste. It's, pardon me, it is still a land. Now, of course, this is much like the Awaken mechanic that we saw in Battle for Zendikar. It's a great mana sink late game. The body's decent for rumbling. It's a hill giant on stats. 2.5 for me. This is a pretty powerful card right here. And our final green card, Wild Growth Walker. Us 1 and a green gets you an elemental at uncommon. It's a 1/3. Whenever a creature you control explores, put a +1/+1 counter on Wild Growth Champion Walker, not Wild Growth Walker, and you gain 3 life. So playing this on curve, followed by explore card, it's already a 2/4, gain 3 life. It's a 3/5, so on and so forth. If you have enough explore creatures in your deck, this thing gets out of control so fast. And again, there's that life gain line that you could possibly cross. And of course, this thing's just getting completely out of control the whole time. So 2.5 for me, I like this guy a lot in the right deck. That's the end of the green cards, people. We are on the way to the end. We're going to kick right into our multicolored cards. I'm going to reset things over here. Boom. Here we go. Our first gold card. Her leadership, Admiral Beckett Brass. 1 blue, black, red gets you a legendary creature, human pirate at mythic, 3/3 that gives other pirates you control +1/+1. At the beginning of your end step, gain control of target non-land permanent controlled by a player who has dealt damage by 3 or more pirates this turn. All right, so here's the trick on Miss Beckett Brass here. You don't have to play full-on Grixis to play her. There's enough pirates in all 3 of the colors, blue, black, and red, that make treasures to cast her quite easily. Now, it's a bit of a win more card, but who cares? If you've got this in the pirate deck, go crazy with it. Obviously, hitting with three pirates can be a bit of a trick, but enough of them have flying, menace, and other types of evasion that you probably will be able to trigger this a couple of times. This is a 3.5 for me. This card is really, really powerful. Next up, we've got Belligerent Bronto Dawn. 5 green white gets you an uncommon dinosaur, 4/6, that lets each creature you control assign combat damage equal to its toughness rather than its power, aka Doran the Siege Dino. Now, this is where a lot of those other dinosaurs come into play that you have seen already that have a awkward, you know, higher toughness than power ratio. That's where these things come into their own. It's a little too high on the curve to make a really high, to make a big impact with those creatures. But once it does come down, whoomph, this thing's huge. 2.25 for me. I might be undervaluing it. I'll have to be proven wrong on this one for the time being. Next up, Call to the Feast. 2 white black for a sorcery at uncommon. Create 3/1/1 white vampire creature tokens with lifelink. This is just an upgraded version of the white spell that only makes 2. This is a 2.25 for me. Obviously, if you have the Vampires Matters cards, this gets a whole lot better. Obviously, played in the DAT deck. I'm not sure if I want to play it in any other deck, to be completely honest. 2.25 for me. Ah, God, I was so hyped when this card got spoiled, because I think this thing's absolutely insane. This is the Deadeye Plunderers. 3 blue-green gets you a human pirate at uncommon. It's a 3/3 that gets +1/+1 for each artifact you control. You can pay 2, a blue, and a black, and create, not even tapping, you can create a treasure token immediately with this guy. Or gals, group, scallywags, whatever. This thing will become quickly, with enough treasures or other artifacts, far too big to kill with any kind of removal other than black removal. At 1 treasure, it's already too big to be killed by half the burns, by more, all but one of the burn spells. At 2, it's too big to be killed by any red burn spell. It's got to be black or a fight card. I have a sneaking suspicion that this might find its way into modern Tezzeret decks, because this thing gets pretty big, pretty quick, and it's like a titan, for crying out loud. And all those little tokens, you can make 5 out of a Tezzeret. Something to think about. I give it a 3, though. This card's really insane. I love it. Next up is Direfleet Captain. A black and a red gets you an orc pirate at uncommon, 2/2. Whenever it attacks, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn for each other attacking pirate. Obviously, this could have benefited from menace, but beggars can't be choosers. In an aggressive pirate deck, you do get to really, you know, really turn this guy sideways and get a huge bonus from it. It's going to eat a lot of guys. Obviously, not attacking if it can't get much of a boost, or if your opponent has creatures that can block it. It's still pretty insane. 2.5 for me. Next up, we have Gishoth, Sun's Avatar. 5 red, green, white, a whopping 8 mana. Legendary creature, dinosaur avatar, mythic rare, 7/6, trample, vigilance, haste. God, as if this thing needed more text. It does. Whenever Gishoth, Sun's Avatar deals damage to a player, reveal that many cards from the top of your library, put a number of dinosaur creature cards from among them onto the battlefield, and the rest of your bottom of your library in any random order. My God. If this thing just turns sideways, it just attacks once. My God, this thing is absolutely absurd. Being in 3 colors, it's not as easy to cast, I think, as the Admiral is, but there are enough cards in the Nyaf Shard that make this thing possible through ramp. We've got New Horizons. We have the Dinosaur Ramper itself. This thing is insane. 3.5 for me. It's probably stronger than that. I need to see this bad boy in action. You do need to prioritize your ramp spells and your color fixing if you're drafting this. But if you have the Naya colors and the support for it in Sealed, go crazy. This card is absurdly powerful. Jesus, thing's big. Next up, we've got Hostage Taker. Originally, this card was spoiled and people thought it went infinite with itself. Not anymore, I got fixed. 2 blue black gets you a human pirate at rare, 2/3. When it enters the battlefield, exile target artifact or creature until Hostage Taker leaves the battlefield. You may cast that card as for as long as it remains exiled, and you may spend any color mana as though it were any type to cast that spell. This is a 3 right here. Basically, it's just going to say, I'm going to get this out of the way, I'm going to cast it later, and I'm going to get it for some damage in the meantime. This thing's awesome. Next up, we have a brand new planeswalker. Huatli, warrior poet. 3 red white for a legendary planeswalker. Of course, they've changed the rules. Mythic planeswalker comes with 3 loyalty. You may pay 2 and gain life equal to the greatest power among creatures you control. That's pretty insane. You can pay 0 loyalty and create a 3/3 green dinosaur creature token with trample. That's really insane too. Or you can pay X. This thing gets insane. She deals damage, X damage equal to, deals X damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures. Creatures dealt this way cannot block this turn. So the ultimate, it's a big falter effect, but in some cases, you just turn those 3 guys sideways and bam, game over. Obviously, she's a 4. This thing is absolutely just insanely powerful. Play this. First pick it. Whatever you gotta do. Huatli's is insane. This, I'm really excited to see new planeswalkers. And if this is the bar being set for new walkers that are being introduced in a standard, wow. So cool. Next up, we have Marauding Looter. 2 blue red gets you a human pirate at uncommon. It's a 4/3. And it has raid at the beginning of your end step. If you attack with a creature this turn, draw a card. And if you do, discard a card. So as long as this guy's, or this gal, is sitting there on the board and it's not to attack, just attack on your flyers. Lots of looting. The late game, or mid game even, you know, as early as you can, start using this effect to start looting your cards away. Card advantage in limited games is absolutely paramount, and this card is really powerful for that reason. This is a solid 3 for me. Next up, we've got Raging Swordtooth. 3 green red gets you a dinosaur at uncommon. It's a 5/5 with trample. When it enters the battlefield, it deals 1 damage to each other creature. So you play all your Enrage guys, and then you play this. You get the combo? Yeah, let's just hope that your opponent doesn't have any on their side of the board and gets any value out of it either, but this card's still plenty powerful. 5-mana 5/5 tramplers, insane. 3 for me. Solid 3. Next up, we have Regisaur Alpha, or as I like to call it, Broodmate Dinosaur. 3 green red gets you a dinosaur at rare, 4/4, giving other dinosaurs you control to have haste. And whenever it enters the battlefield, create a 3/3 green dinosaur token with trample. Yeah, this thing's insane. 3.5 for me. What more do you need from this guy? Good grief. Next up, we have Shapers of Nature. 1 green and blue gets you a merfolk at uncommon. It's a 3/3. You may pay 3 to green to put a +1/+1 counter on target creature, or pay 2 and a blue and remove a +1/+1 counter from a creature you control and draw a card. This is a functional reprint of something that I just cannot remember. I believe we saw this in RTR block with some kind of Simic Mage of some sort. Very, very similar, if not identical, possibly different on the activated mana cost and things like that. But this thing is absolutely insane. This is the payoff card in the Merfolk deck to just have that value streaming constantly. Make your guys bigger, draw more cards. This thing is really powerful. It's a solid 3 for me. Merfolk love this guy. Next up, we've got Sky Terror. A red and a white gets you a dinosaur at uncommon. It's a 2/2 of flying and menace. Good grief. Thing's nuts. This will probably kill you before you manage to block it. Even if you do, it's super annoying. This is a solid 3 for me. This is the first time I've ever seen anything like this. We've seen haste flyers for 3/2s that are 2/2s, but this is just absurd. Sky Terror is an actual terror. Good grief. Next up, we have Tishana, Voice of Thunder. 5 green blue gets you a legendary creature, Merfolk Shaman, at Mythic Rare, and its power is Star. And her power and toughness is equal to the number of cards in your hand. You have no maximum hand size. Hello, Reliquary Tower. And when she enters the battlefield, draw a card for each creature you control. God, I hope this isn't a top deck for you. Obviously, if the board is clogged up, it's going to draw a ton of cards, find you a way to win. On an empty board, though, this is pretty underwhelming, but, what can you do? She's a 3, though. It's really high on the mana curve. Yes, there is the ramp in the green. This card's really powerful if you can resolve it. Like it a lot. Next up, we have Vana, Butcher of Magan. 3 black, white, to a legendary creature, Vampire Knight, at Mythic Rare, 4/4, Vigilance, Lifelink. You can tap and pay 7 life and destroy target non-land permanent. Activate this ability only during your turn, because Vindicate at instant speed is absurd! I would gladly pay 7 life to kill something at instant speed. I don't care! 3.25 for me. The Vindicate ability on here is just icing on the cake. A 4/4 Vigilance Lifelinker is just disgusting. As I've said before, only a single red burn spell actually kills this. You have to either kill with black removal or fight mechanics. This thing is bizarre how good this thing is. This is going to be like probably setting the bar for new black-white commanders. Like, this card is insane. Wow. It's probably worth at least a 3/5. I'm giving Vana too much flack. You're better than that. I'm sorry. And our final gold card, and she is back. Behold, Vraska, Relic Seeker. 4 black green legendary planeswalker Vraska. She's mythic rare, obviously. She has 6 loyalty. My God. +2 makes a 2/2 black vampire, not vampire, pirate token with a menace. You can -3 and destroy target artifact, creature, or enchantment, and that creates and a treasure token for doing that. Or you can -10 and target player's life total becomes 1. This thing is insane. She should be a 4. I will say that much right now. That being said, I could only give her a 3.75 for the very small reason that black-green isn't a really well-supported archetype in this set. That's the only knock against her. Like, if you can ramp into this, if you have the color fixing for her, go crazy and just kill your opponents with Vraska, because she's absolutely absurd. I need to go a little bit deeper and look at what black-green actually does in this format. It's weird. I don't really know what its purpose is. You know, big fatties and kill spells, like a black-green mid-range deck? Probably. But there really isn't really a solid theme behind that archetype. So other than that, she's absolutely absurd. I've heard rumors about this thing getting banned in Commander. So I don't know. I don't care about that. But Vraska's really, really powerful. Moving right along to our artifacts. Getting towards the end of the set here, guys. I'm having fun. I hope you guys are too. Thanks for sticking around and all that good stuff. Alright. Cobbled Wings is up first. We have a 2 generic mana equipment at common. Gives a creature flying. Equips for 1. Don't play this card. Crappy equipment is crap. Next! Dusk Legion Dreadnought. 5 generic mana for an artifact vehicle. At uncommon, it's a 4/6 with vigilance. You crew for 2. Yeah, this thing's surprisingly large for its body. It's a little too expensive, but other than that, this thing's not terrible. There are plenty of 2 toughness creatures that are going to be able to jump in this thing and crew it right along, and vigilance is insane. 2.25 for me. Not bad. Next up, we have Elaborate Cannon. 2 generic mana gets you an artifact at uncommon. Does an untap during your untap step. 4 and tapping it, and you can deal 2 damage to target creature or player. Beginning of your upkeep, you may discard a card. If you do, untap it. I don't care how elaborate and fancy it is. This is not a hoop worth jumping through. I'm sorry. Solid 1 for me. Don't like it at all. Next up, we've got the Fel Flagship. 3 generic mana gets you an artifact vehicle at rare, 3/3, giving pirates you control +1/+0. And whenever it deals combat damage to a player, that player discards a card. Now, obviously, if this thing had menace somehow, that would be pretty sweet. But it's probably too good. 2.25 for me. This is going to be a tough card to get through. Crewing for 3 also really hurts this thing a lot, I think. I think I just want to have this sit in play as a 3-mana anthem for my pirates and my pirate draft deck. And occasionally, if I can crew it, there you go. Next up, we've got the Gilded Sentinel. 4 generic mana gets you an artifact creature golem at common. It's a 3/3. Decent filler and nothing more. Next up, Hierophant's Chalice. 3 generic mana gets an artifact at common, enters battlefield, your opponent loses a life, and you gain a life. You can tap it for a colorless. This is really underwhelming ramp. If you need it to get to your big top end dinosaurs, by all means. Bonus points if you ultimate Vraska and then kill somebody with this. I guess that's kind of cool. But other than that, not really all that great. 1.5 for me. I would be hard pressed for ramp to be actually playing this. Next up, we have Pillar of Origins. 2 generic mana to an artifact at uncommon. When it enters battlefield, choose a creature type, and you may tap it to add 1 mana to your mana pool. Spend this mana only to cast creature spells of the chosen type. Again, this is one of the few pieces of ramp for limited. Good ramp, not chalice. This is good ramp here. The dinosaur deck absolutely wants to have this. If you've got things like Tishana or any of the high curve creatures, even the vampire deck has a couple of 5 and 6 drops, that's where you want to be playing this thing. Not a lot of spells, though, because that will make this thing really awkward to sit on the board if you just start top decking spells. Card's pretty powerful. 2.5 for me. Your ramp decks will want this very high. Prioritize this one for sure. Next up, we have Pirate's Cutlass. 3 generic mana for an equipment at common. When it enters battlefield, you may attach it to target pirate you control, and it gives it +2/+1, and equips for 2. With it as a pirate, with enough pirates in your deck, this is passable, barely. The art's kind of cool, though. I'm not a huge fan of equipment when it comes to limited games. This is pretty mediocre at best. Solid 2. Next up, we have the Prying Blade. A single generic mana gets you an equipment at common. It equips a creature, gets +1/+0 to the end of turn. Or just +1/+0, not to the end of turn. Good grief. It equips for 2, and whenever it deals damage to a player, you may create a treasure token. And that's actually pretty insane. If you can get through with it consistently, then the upside for those treasure tokens becomes pretty relevant, and you can do some pretty cool things with it. But again, it's just a 2 for me. I've never been a fan of equipment, and I'll say that a lot more in the future. Next up, we have Sentinel Totem. A single generic mana gets you an uncommon artifact when it enters battlefield. Scry 1, and you may tap it to exile Sentinel Totem and exile all cards from all graveyards. There is no reason for you to play this in limited whatsoever. This is purely for standard. This is the graveyard hit we should have had a long time ago. I'm looking at you, Emrakul. We need this in standard a long time ago, and it's here finally, but it's a little bit too late, unfortunately, as well. 0, don't touch this one for limited games. Next up, Shadowed Caravel. 2 generic mana gets you a 2/2 rare artifact vehicle. Whenever a creature you control explores, put a +1/+1 counter on Shadowed Caravel. Cruise for 2. This is pretty solid. In a deck full of explorers, kind of like the Undergrowth guy, this can get pretty big, and eventually those little 2-power guys are going to be hopping in this bad boy and just beating down. Not the worst thing in the world. Next up, we've got Sleek Schooner. There we go. 3 generic mana for an artifact vehicle at uncommon. It's a 4/3 and cruise for 1. That's not bad at all. That's probably on par with some of the better artifact vehicles from Kaladesh. So I would be embarrassed to play this thing. If it had some evasion, sure, why not? 2.25 for me, not too bad at all. Next up, we have Sorceress Spyglass. This is the pseudo-upgraded Pithing Needle, if you want to look at it that way. 2 generic mana gets you an artifact at rare. When it enters the battlefield, look at opponent's hand and then choose a card name. Activated abilities of sources with the chosen name can't be activated unless they're mana abilities. So in Modern, play this on 2, look at their hand. Oh, you have some fetch lands. You can't use those anymore, for instance. Solid sideboard card. You know, if they have something like a Planeswalker that you absolutely have to be able to answer but just don't have a card to do that, this is a decent way to do that. Or if they have, you know, any of like maybe the gold Merfolk that adds counters and things like that, there's play to this, but sideboard this purely for that. And of course, as we'll see a lot of play in Standard, possibly Modern as well. And our last, nope, that's not right. There are more. I almost forgot. Vanquisher's Banner is next. It's a 5 generic artifact. It's rare. Enters battlefield, choose a creature type. Creatures of the chosen type get +1/+1, and whenever you cast a creature of the chosen type, draw a card. That's not terrible. In Draft, there is plenty of upside for this. If you're playing any tribal deck, this will immediately slot into it. If you have a high density of a certain creature type in your standard, in your sealed deck, this also gets pretty powerful. Just the card draw alone, I would say that you would need to draw somewhere between 2 and 3 cards off of this before you've gotten your value out of it. But at that point, you're in the money right there. Solid 3 for me. All right. back to the double face cards. Oh, man. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Conqueror's Galleon. 4 generic mana for an artifact vehicle at rare. Whenever it attacks, exile at the end of combat, then return it to the battlefield transformed under your control. Cruise for 4. That's pretty stiff, but what this turns into is terrifying. This is Conqueror's Galleon, and there's so much text on this thing, I have to look at the actual screen for it. Basic land, taps for a colorless. You may pay 2 and tap it, draw a card, then discard a card. Pay 4 and tap it, draw a card. Pay 6 and tap it, return target card from your graveyard to your hand. If this thing flips, you will bury your opponent in card advantage. This is very much like Pillar of Alara. I forget the actual name of the card that could just do a million things for a ton of different mana. Step of Domination comes to mind as well. This is a really sweet card. Too bad the crewing is a little bit high, but if you can do it in one shot, yeah, go for it. This card's pretty nuts. Next up, we've got Dousing Dagger. 2 generic mana gets you an artifact equipment at rare. When it enters the battlefield, target opponent creates a 0/2 green plant creature token with defender. It makes 2 of them, actually. Equipped creature gets +2/+1. Whenever you deal damage to combat damage to a player, you may transform Dousing Dagger. Equips for 2. So it makes some blockers for him, but what is the upside for this? Well, it turns into Black Lotus. It's not even legendary. Add 3 mana of any color to your mana pool. Holy crap. This card's pretty insane. If you can get through with it, you're in pretty good shape. It's a bit of a hoop to jump through, paying 2, equipping for 2, and then having to beat through their defenders or whatever's going to be in the way. But if you can flip this over, my God. 2.5 for me, just because that upside is so huge. Black Lotus on a land repeatedly. It might be better than that. It might be worse than that. I'm not quite sure, but we'll find out. Next up, we have Primal Amulet. 4 generic mana for an artifact at rare. Instant and sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a charge counter on Primal Amulet. And then if there are 4 or more counters on it, you may remove those counters and transform the amulet. And it turns into Primal Wellspring. Tap to add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. When that mana is spent to cast an instant or sorcery spell, copy that spell and you may choose new targets for it. Wow, this card's insane. Obviously, this is best in a spell-heavy draft deck. Blue-red, blue-black, blue-white, whatever it's going to be. Blue-green perhaps as well. Once you're able to get this thing flipped over, it's going to depend on what the spells that you do have. You're going to need a surplus of them, obviously, to really make this thing count. But if you do have removal spells, burn spells, counter spells are kind of weird in that regard. But yeah, once this thing flips over, it gets really scary in the right draft. Like, I don't think this is going to see any real play in Sealed unless you just have a really wacky, spell-heavy control deck, possibly into it, a Giant, perhaps. This could also possibly see a little bit of play in Standard as well. This card is just really cool, though. 2.5 for me in the right deck, of course. Next up, we have Thematic Compass. And I believe this is something that Nicol Bolas actually gave to Vraska, I think. It is a 2 generic artifact at rare. You may pay 3, tap it, search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, put it into your hand, and shuffle your library. Beginning of your end step, if you control 7 or more lands, transform Thematic Compass. And this thing flips over. Spires of Orazka. It's a land, taps at a generic mana, and you may tap it and untap target attacking creature an opponent controls and remove it from combat. Do you guys know what this is? This is Maze of Ith. With a little bit of a downside. You need a lot of lands in play. I can see the future of this card being in some kind of control deck and Standard. You know, constantly getting lands out of your deck and finally hitting the mana requirements to actually flip this thing over. And then from there, it's just, that's not attacking, that's not attacking, that's not attacking. Kill that, warp the board, counter the spell, win the game at some point. Card's really powerful. It just takes a lot of setup to get through there, but it is really solid mana ramp for that. This is a 2.25, 5 for me. But once it flips over, though, this is like a 4. This card is absolutely absurd. Really, really cool. And our last artifact, and I do mean our last artifact this time, Treasure Map. 2 generic mana for an artifact at rare. You may pay 1, tap it, scry, put a landmark counter on a treasure map. Then if there are 3 or more landmark counters on it, remove those counters, then transform it and create 3 colorless treasure tokens. So it's already, you're getting some mana back out of it. Pretty insane. Flip it over. Treasure Cove. Taps add a generic mana, and you can tap it to sacrifice a treasure. Draw a card. In a pirate deck that has a lot of treasure making that can take advantage of these cards, I can definitely see the advantage of it, possibly in your ramp decks as well, because you are getting some kind of advantage out of that, getting the card advantage from scrying, getting the tokens out of it when it's actually ready to flip over, and then using that mana acceleration to get to your bigger curve. It's pretty powerful. This is probably a 2.5. I'll need to see this one in play. This was one of the more curious ones, just because it doesn't have a whole lot of extra value once you run out of treasure tokens, when the rest of them can do pretty much anything as long as you have cards in your hand. So there you go. Moving right along to the very last section of our set. We're on to the lands. Here we go. Hope you guys are having fun. Thank you so much for hanging around with me. This has been great. First up, the return of one of my favorite land cycles ever. This is the cycle of lands that I was most familiar with when I first started playing Magic again, when I came back right after Scars of Mirrodin released. These are, of course, the Buddy Lands. The allied colors, Dragon Skull Summit, Drowned Catacombs, Glacial Fortress, Rootbound Crag, and Sudden Puddle Grove, red, black, blue, black, blue, white, green, red, and green, white. They all enter the battlefield tapped unless you control a swamp or a mountain, island or a swamp, plains or a forest. You know, we'll get to those, all of them. They're all 2s or 3s. It really doesn't matter what they're ranked as, honestly. If you're in the colors, play the damn thing. If you're going to splash something off of it, go for it. There's really nothing special about these, but the art on them is fantastic. Dragon Slayer especially. Wow. Just wow. Our first actual land to talk about, though, is Field of Ruin. This is an uncommon land that taps at a generic mana. To your mana pool, you may pay 2 and sacrifice Field of Ruin. Destroy target non-basic land an opponent controls. Each player searches his or her library for a basic land card, puts it onto the battlefield, and shuffles his or her library. This is really interesting. This is a Tech Edge, Ghost Quarter, Wasteland kind of thing. We've never... like, Ghost Quarter has always been sort of the go-to mana destruction in Modern, along with Tech Edge, you know, to a lesser extent. Those all put both players behind. Ghost Quarter especially puts you behind and puts your opponent to, you know, ramps them back up essentially by giving them a land from the Ghost Quarter. This is really interesting that it gives both players a replacement land. In Sealed and Draft, put this in your sideboard unless your opponent has the legendary enchantments that turn into those legendary powerful lands, or the artifacts that do, because those will get out of control and you need a way to answer them. This is how you do it. Possibly going to see some play in Standard, possibly some Modern play as well in things like, you know, decks with like Lien and Arbiter decks, you know, your Hate Bear decks, possibly Control decks that want to replace their Ghost Quarters and Tech Edges. I don't know. This one has potential though, because we haven't seen a card like this in such a long time, and I love it. Moving right along. Yep, there are the Boar Buddy Lands, Crystal Fortress, Rootbound Cracks on Battle Grove. Look at those arts. My God, they are pretty. And let's go on to our last 2 actual lands to talk about. Unclaimed Territory is up first. It's an uncommon land, and when it enters the battlefield, you may choose a creature type. You may tap it to add a generic mana to your mana pool, or tap it to add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. Spend this mana only to cast creature spells of the chosen type. So this, again, is crucial to your 3-color dinosaur deck or your 3-color pirate deck. If you've got these in your pool for your sealed deck tournaments at your pre-releases, go for it. Just be careful about having a lot of spells in your deck as well. Kind of a nombo there. Obviously, in Draft, this is just as good. 2.5 for me. You'll want this in any 2-plus color deck that has a lot of creatures in it, especially dinosaurs, because there isn't an abundance of good fixing in this set. 4 or 5 cards at max. And our very last land, our very last card to talk about, if finally here, guys. And it sucks. It had to be that way, I'm sure. Unknown Shores is a land. It's common. It taps at a generic mana to your mana pool and may pay one and tap it to add any mana of any card to your mana pool. Why are we still printing this? We saw this in Amonkhet, and it was crap then. It's crap now. It's always going to be crap. This will screw up your mana, your mana production in the early turns if you draw at the wrong time. This chokes you on a mana to cast things that are not within your, you know, within your primary colors. This is not used to splash. This is a trap, people. This is a zero. Zero. Don't play this card, people. Just don't. And that ends us on a low note. That is it, people. That is every card in Ixalan. 279, I believe? Wow, yeah, 279 cards. The pre-release, of course, is this weekend. If you're watching this on YouTube, thank you so much. I hope this gives you, you know, a bit of a leg up on the competition. Of course, check us out over on the MTG Cast as well. You can find the blue, black, and red and white colors already up online. Go check us out on YouTube as well. Check us out, of course, every week on the MTG Cast. We'll be back next week with a full episode to talk about the pre-release, the limited format in general, what we think about the set in general. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a brand new world for Magic. Battle for Zendikar is rotating out. Shadows of Innistrad is rotating out. Standard will not be the same ever again. As it shouldn't be. It was getting old anyway. I'm tired of Eldrazi. But yeah, thank you so much for watching, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed this. Best of luck at your pre-releases this weekend and your drafts in the future. And of course, you know, come back and watch us every week. Find us on Twitter at the EOT Newsflash. Find us over on Twitch at EOT Newsflash. Find Sean and Steven, of course, at Busted Sleeves, both and S. Spellpierce, both on Twitter and Twitch. And of course, Facebook at EOT Newsflash. Thank you so much for watching, guys. I have been Alex, and I am about to lose my voice. Thanks for watching, guys.